You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Well, good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. I'm the author of The DNA of a Man and the founder of the Man Warrior King movement. And today we are going to talk about how to overcome the mental malaise that keeps you down. And what do I mean by that exactly? I mean the general feeling of downness that many of us guys deal with. And many of us actually feel like this is just part of who we are. And it's part of our makeup that we wish it weren't so, yet it is in us. And so we're just stuck with it. We have to deal with it. And everybody else around us also has to deal with it. And I would like to offer to you, just come right out the gate with it, this mental malaise, this emotional downness, this feeling of just a general cloud hanging over our countenance, so that a smile is a lot of work, so that being thankful and being cheerful and joyful with our voice is a lot of work, and it's not natural, it's far from us. I think all of that is not valid. It's not legal in the kingdom. So that's where we're headed. And I want to show you something in Jonah that was life-changing for me, okay? And it is in Jonah chapter 2, where he has been swallowed up by this massive fish, and he's been in the fish's belly for a few days at this point, and he prays to God, he calls out to God in the middle of the fish. While he's in the middle of his trouble, in the middle of this crazy circumstance that came up out of nowhere. Okay, and many of you feel that way. There are many of you who are listening to this podcast right now who feel like you have been attacked and barraged by all of these, inexplicable, by all of these extraordinary circumstances that most people shouldn't have to deal with, but somehow you did. Many of you feel like that. And you feel like you wish that your life would just get normal. Jesus promised you abundant life, but you can't even imagine what it's like to have a normal life, because you've had so much trial and trouble and difficulty. That's, many of you feel this way, just like Jonah. He had this fish come up and get him. And it says, while he's in the fish, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Wait a second. He called to the Lord out of his distress, and God answered him. Jonah is saying this in the past tense. while he's in the fish. Guys, when you're stuck in this mental malaise, it's frustrating because you realize, okay, well, I want to be happy and glad, but I don't want to fake it. I want it to be real. I don't want to be inauthentic. I don't want to be lying with my words. I don't want to be lying with my face and my countenance. What if you choosing to smile, even though you feel down, is not lying? What if it's leading? See, Jonah says, I called out to the Lord and he answered me before his circumstances changed. He's declaring it as if God has already delivered him. And at least with this fish circumstance, God hadn't. See, that reminds me of a verse where Jesus tells us, whatever you wish when you pray, believe that you have already received it and it's going to be given to you. I will argue that many times this mental downness, this emotional fog and discouraged depression, even if it's mild, many times when that's over us, we want it to clear, and then we'll go ahead and thank God. Then we'll go ahead and be joyful. We don't want to have to exercise faith, believing that a thing is even before it comes about. We want the thing to come about first, which requires zero faith. And God told us that whoever wants to please God has got to have faith. So in my life, I know that when I have been in these times of being really down, and maybe not really, maybe even just underlying, okay? I'm calling out all levels of downness and discouragement. I'm calling out extreme downness, where you can barely get up out of bed, where you are literally depressed. I'm calling out the minimal downness, where it's just this general flavor over your day that you are somehow sloshing through mud, that you are somehow missing the mark, that you are screwing up probably, that you're discouraged because life isn't where you want it to be. It's this downness that just flavors everything that you engage in. I'm calling out all of it. And when I've been in those seasons of feeling that way, it's the easiest thing in the world to just let it continue, to let the downness continue, because it requires no work. And then we think, okay, God, if you want me to shape up my attitude, if you want me to walk in joy, if you want me to have victory, then you're going to have to do it, because essentially you're not. But Jesus, he said, when you pray, believe that you have already received it, and it will be given to you. So believe that you have received it, past tense, and it will be given to you, future tense. So there's something there. The downness keeps us from believing. It makes us want to embrace our current circumstance and to let that be God over us. But Jesus said, believe that you've received the thing you're asking for. God, I'm asking you for joy. Thank you that you've given it to me. Why am I speaking on this in this podcast episode, gentlemen? It's because I've caught myself in this again. Actually, my wife has caught me in it. And it tears her apart when she sees that I'm communicating in non-joy, in less than victory, when she sees that I'm communicating out of a place of self-doubt and wondering if the future's going to be good or not, wondering, what have I done with this decision or that decision, and how has it screwed up our family? When she sees me communicating in this general malaise of soul, it tears her apart, and it damages our connection. What my wife is looking for in a leader is somebody who has a countenance fixed on Jesus and his promises, that doesn't sway from day to day, whether I wake up with that cloud over me or not. It doesn't sway from day to day depending on what happens in the course of that day's events. My wife is looking for a man who will communicate in joy even when the feelings aren't there. And some might think that sounds unreasonable. And I say, welcome to manhood. We are called on to do things that sometimes seem unreasonable. We are called on to be strong even when we feel weak. You remember 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. So when I feel weak, even then, I don't have an excuse to be weak. I don't have an excuse to embrace it and to take it on and to let it get me. I don't have an excuse. I don't have justification for it, because when I am weak, I choose to boast in it. And if we go on in 2 Corinthians a little bit later, it says, when Paul is getting buffeted over and over and over again by an enemy sent from Satan, he asks God to please take it away, and God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul says, okay, therefore, all the more gladly, I will choose to boast in my weaknesses, so then the power of Christ can rest on me. When we are weak is when we are at our finest. And so this general malaise that comes over us, it comes because we're feeling weak. We're feeling not up to the task. We're feeling as if we're inadequate. We're feeling as if we have already failed. And I just told you, my wife, she needs a man who will communicate in strength, who will relate in strength, even when I'm feeling weak. And you say, that's not fair. You say, if I'm feeling weak, I need God to come in and rescue me. I need God to come in and change it so that I feel exuberant, so that I feel it on top of the world, so that I feel victory. But it's not what we see in Scripture. We see, when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. And so when I'm weak, I'm going to choose to boast in it. I'm going to choose to rejoice in my weakness. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden I feel strong. It means that I am strong even if I feel weak. It doesn't mean that I all of a sudden feel on top of the world. It means that I am, because I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places no matter what happens in my day. So no matter what kind of inadequacy or weakness or crappy circumstance comes my way, it is no excuse for a crappy outlook and a crappy countenance and a crappy attitude. And as I said, as I preach to you, I preach to myself. So I want to look at Jonah. I said I was going to get there. Okay, we already said that he called out to the Lord out of his distress and that God answered him. But that was before he got out of the fish. Jonah says, because you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows, they passed over me. And I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. So see, Jonah is saying, I called to the Lord and he answered me. And this is even while he's saying that he's had been buffeted also, like Paul. He's been buffeted by these storms, by the billows around him. And he's driven away from God's sight, he says. But I will yet again look upon your holy temple. I will not take this lying down. I will see the presence of God again. And I will push through what I have to push through until I see him. And it says, the waters closed in over me to take my life, and the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. This is hopeless. His life is all but done. The weeds of the ocean are wrapped around his head, suffocating him as he's stuck in the fish. And he says, God, you brought my life up from the pit. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. He's declaring this as if it already happened. While he's in the fish, he's prophesying over his life. He's declaring forth things which have not yet come. He says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. I'm not going to look to anything less than you, God. I'm not going to look to the cheaper ones. I'm not going to look to the false ones. I'm going to look to you. I'm not going to look to my circumstances. I'm not going to look to my wife. I'm not going to look to my health, my money, the course of my day. I'm not going to look to any of those things to comfort me. I'm not going to look to any of those things to be my source of joy. I look to God alone, because if I look to anything else, I forsake my hope of steadfast love as a father loves his son. And then Jonah says this, I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. See, he says, I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to my God, even while I'm still in the belly of a fish with weeds wrapped around my head, choking the life out of me. Because my God has delivered me. What's interesting is that he's not saying here, my God may or may not deliver me. He's declaring that it's already been done. Before it has been done. So, what about you? While you're in the middle of this feeling down, whatever it is that's causing it, you feel malaise. And you're looking for a reason why, so you can find a way out. You want a way out of it. You want to feel happy and joyful. I dare say the way to get there is to act like it before you feel it. Is to, in the belly of the fish that has swallowed you up, you say thank you to God. Thank him that he is good. Thank him that he has given you joy. Thank him that he has given you confidence. Thank you that you are enough, that you are more than enough to meet the challenges that face you. Thank him that you are a high-value man, a high-value husband, because you've been given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. You thank him that he has delivered your family from the financial depths and lack, because he puts good food in your mouth and he restores your youth like the eagles and he gives his children good gifts. You thank him that he's done it. You thank him that he has already met you where you feel unmet. And it hurts to do this because it feels lying. It feels like it's going against how the actual reality is. And it feels like if you say thanks to God and you choose to be glad, that somehow you're going to lose your leverage and give him the freedom to not rescue you. And I'm telling you, he's looking for you to put on the mantle of a conqueror, one who is more than a conqueror, so that while you are in the fish, you can already have risen above it, conquered it in faith, because you are thankful to your God and you're putting on joy so that no attack from the enemy can steal the light of Jesus inside of you. Stop looking at your failures and stop looking at why you think you don't measure up. And instead, I want you to choose to say, thank you, Jesus, that I am a new creation, that I am awesome, that I have power and authority in this earth to change it in your name. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm a man who knows my God and I'm knowing you more. And I thank you that I am accepted in you. I thank you, God, that I'm a man who of utter rejoicing. You are so good. The Psalms over and over say that I will be glad. It doesn't say I feel glad. It says I will be. I refuse to not be glad. Refuse to not be glad. Put it on like armor. If you haven't yet picked up the book, The DNA of a Man, I encourage you to do it. It will change your life. I get email after email, Facebook message after Facebook message telling me, Matt, your book is changing me. Thank you for your book. So if you want to grab it, you can go to manwarriorking.com/DNA. That's manwarriorking.com/DNA. And I want to tell you, gentlemen, if you are needing some more, we are about to launch the next round of the Ranks of Adullam. If you were a part of it last time, or you heard me talking about it leading up to it last time, then you know this thing is powerful. The book is powerful, but this is going to take a group of men who are tired of religion, who are tired of living the religious, shallow, platitude-filled life, trying to get the shallow answers to deep problems to work. And we're going to be real, and we're going to meet Jesus for real. We're going to see our marriages healed for real. We're going to see broken bodies, diseases healed for real. We are going to learn how to walk in a life of miracles. We are going to learn how to become men who are confident, assertive, action takers, world changers. Okay, this is coming the end of July, it's beginning. In the next few days, I'm going to be releasing information about it. So if you want to know more about it, keep listening to the podcast episodes. Jump on the email list at manwarriorking.com and you're going to get the emails about it. But you don't want to miss it. Bless you, gentlemen. Until next time, this is Matt Halleck signing off. Peace.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.